All right, I'm about to open the waiting room.
Amen. Good morning, friends, and welcome to this service of worship at Tabernacle United Church. My name is Pastor Katie Akins. Pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm really glad to welcome us all to this service of worship and to be here remembering together who we are and whose we are. Perhaps you're just kind of rolling out of bed this morning on with daylight savings time. It was an early morning today, so know that you're welcome in your PJs or whatever, with your coffee cup, whatever, and just as you are, we're all welcome into God's presence. So I want to also give a special welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. If you are here for the first time joining us, we're glad you're here. Thank you for being here. And we invite you, if you'd like to introduce yourself either in the chat feature, or you can also fill out a visitor card. We'll put the visitor card link in the chat box so you can just take some time to fill that out. We would love to be in touch with you and to connect further. And we're glad that you're here this morning and taking that step to visit with us in this setting. I want to just highlight a few announcements for us this morning. First of all, I want to mention today there will be some opportunity for more connection after the service. So we invite you to stay. There will be a few options for conversation. You can stay during the normal, in the main room of the coffee hour after worship. And that's just for unstructured social time. If you'd like to stay in that room, you can also choose a couple breakout rooms that you can opt into. So one of them is called Welcome Visitors Room. And so we're giving special attention to those who are visiting with us. So if you're new, but also if you're not new, but would like to connect a little bit more with some of the newer folks, we invite you to go to that room for some time of connection. And Alicia Davis will be facilitating that room today. So thank you, Alicia, for doing that. And we invite you to be a part of that if you'd like. We also will have another room for sermon discussion. So if you're interested in going a little bit deeper, talking more about the sermon and questions that come up for you or reflections, that's a great room to go to as well. It's also a time to connect with one another and to be in some deeper conversation there. So both of those, all of those options are there for you, or you're also, of course, we bless you if you need to leave and can't stay, but wanted to offer up those opportunities to you. Also this week, throughout the week, just a reminder that we have our Tuesday and Thursday prayer morning gatherings at 8:30 in the morning, which all are welcome to join. We also have our Lenten Bible study that will continue as we look at the healing stories in Mark's gospel. So we will be meeting again this Wednesday at 5:30 for that. And then we also have a Friday happy hour at 7 o'clock. Drinks are optional. Anyone is welcome to join for that time of connecting on a Friday evening. So those are our announcements this morning, and just invite you now to wake up together as we worship and sing and welcome the Spirit's presence into our lives again. Let's call ourselves to worship.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, God is leading us home. Our wandering is over at last. Come, God is leading us home, home to a safe and prosperous place. Come, God is leading us home. There is no more hunger or thirst. Come, God is leading us home. Our lives have meaning and joy. Come, God is leading us home. Our souls find rest at last.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, we will sing Come to the Wild by Pastor Katie, thinking about it in this season, especially because of our goals of caring for the earth with the Environmental Action Team and the theme of this morning's sermon. We're also finding ways to sing together and play together. This is an experiment through the app Acapella that Pastor Katie and I worked on to put some instruments together and our voices together. So let's sing together and let's worship this morning.
Holding on, here you belong.
this next song is one that was introduced to me by Megan Gibson, that we haven't sung in a while, but also evokes a lot of creative nature imagery. So I invite you to imagine these images as we sing this song together. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed and won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are
Amen. Thank you, Pax. Please join me in the opening prayer. O God, we gather together in your presence with expectation, hungry for an encounter with you, eager to hear your word. Open our eyes and ears to the presence of your Spirit. May the seeds of your word scattered among us this morning fall on fertile soil. May they take root in our hearts and lives and produce an abundant harvest in our words and actions. We pray in the name of Jesus, the healer and liberator. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of endless mercy, we are swallowed up by our greed and selfishness, desiring that which we do not have, filling our lives with things that do not save us. We are swept away by the floods of our own making, polluting your creation, neglecting to be faithful stewards of the earth. We attack one another and lead lives of violence, seeking dominance instead of well-being for all. God of mercy, Christ of mercy, for we are broken and need your salvation. Have mercy and hear us as we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of love can heal the broken places in our lives. The God of peace can quiet our spirits of anxiety and despair. The God of forgiveness can hold us gently and open our hearts to new faithfulness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Sets us free and gives us the peace that passes understanding. We receive that peace from Christ and we share that with one another. So let us give that gift of sharing the peace of Christ to each other. Let's greet with one another with signs of peace. So you can go to gallery view now and should be able to unmute and let's greet each other. May the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
And also with you. With
you. Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Helen. Peace be with you.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Lee.
UD, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Helen.
Morning.
Good
morning. Hi, Helen. Hello, Lynn.
Wait, where's Helen?
Thank you, Heather Bird. Good morning.
Hi, Jennifer, Rose, and Levi.
Hey, Bookie.
Hi, Lucinda.
Hi, Heather.
Hey, Chris.
Jennifer and Rose. Hello.
Good morning, Pax.
Geneva.
Hi,
Scott. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Levi.
Hi, Alyssa.
Rose.
Good to see you again.
Peace, Lucinda.
Hey, Amanda and Michelle. Good to see you both.
Hi.
Peace.
Good to see Amanda and Michelle.
I can.
Peace to you, Priscilla. Good morning.
This is Susan Bell.
Hey. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Verona.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Verona.
Hi. Hi, Julie.
Nay, that's an awesome little picture of Bella.
Hey, Oscar. Hey, Chris. Oh.
Hi, Jesus. Hi, Jamie. Hi.
Oh, hey, God, good to see you.
Hey. Peace to you, Jim Thacker. Good morning.
And everyone without the
service. Hello, Del Corazon.
She said, come in, Jamie.
It's so early.
Peace,
Gina.
Hi, Audrey.
It is early.
It's even earlier for them. Because
oh, wow. Yeah. Earlier in Iowa.
Yeah.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Donald, Susan.
Hi, Eloise and Dick.
Hi.
Hello, Jean and Amy.
Hi, Heather and Oscar.
Hello.
Hi, Fletcher. Hi, Lynn.
At this point in our service, we invite the children and anyone else who would like to join the Young at Heart to come and be a part of that small circle for the children's time. And if you'd like to do that, you can go down to the reactions button on your Zoom window and click raise your hand. But let's sing together as we invite the children forward and the Young at Heart forward for the children's time. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Okay, good morning. I'm Deb Burnham. My pronouns are she and hers. It's great to see some people here. Today, I want to talk about something that we call healing. I want to ask a question. How many of you have scraped your knee or cut your finger? Anyone? Bet you have. Yeah. So here's a picture of a little child. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl with a scraped knee, which is getting better. We have some funny words for these things. They're called owies or ouchies or boo-boos, but they're not funny at all. They really hurt. And sometimes they can make you very scared. If you fall down the steps or you fall off your bike, your knee could bleed or hurt. You might feel very scared. You might not want to get back on your bike or go back to the steps. And sometimes you just have to cry. So here's a girl who is really, really sad. That just makes me sad just looking at this picture. But there are people who want to help you feel better. Someone can clean up your scrape and put a Band-Aid on it. That person might give you a cuddle to help you and a hug to help you feel better. So here's another picture, a knee with a Band-Aid on it. This week, the grown-ups in this church are thinking about something called healing. And healing is what we call getting better. When you scrape your knee, sometimes it gets a really big scab, and then the scab falls off, and what you see underneath is nice new skin. That's healing. When any part of you, your knee or your finger or your stomach hurts, you need someone to help you and take care of you and to help you heal, to help you get better. So there's also other kinds of healing. This we don't know what's wrong with this little girl, but she looks very sad. Maybe she's scared. Maybe she's lonely. There are other kinds of healing. When you're scared, it's like being hurt. When you're scared, you need someone to tell you that everything's going to be okay. And that's a kind of healing. When you feel lonely and sad, that's like being hurt too. When you feel lonely and sad, you know, we hope someone will cuddle you and make you feel better. And that's healing. And there's a little boy who's getting a major cuddle from somebody, maybe his mom, and it looks like he feels pretty good. Even when we're very sad and parts of us hurt badly, we can soon feel better. So we can be thankful for the people who cuddle us, for the people who give us Band-Aids, and the people who just make us feel better in so many ways. So thank you.
This morning I thought of the song Jesus Christ is Waiting, which mentions raging in the streets and healing in the streets, and I invite you to sing it with me. It's a familiar tune, and I think you'll learn it quickly as we sing these four verses together. Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets. No one is his neighbor, all alone he eats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am lonely too. Make me friend or stranger, fit to wait on you. Jesus Christ is raging, raging in the streets, where injustice spirals and real hope retreats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am angry too. In your kingdom's causes, let me rage with you. Jesus Christ is healing, healing in the streets, curing those who suffer, touching those he greets. Listen, Lord Jesus, I need healing too. Let my care be active, healing just like you. Jesus Christ is calling, calling in the streets. Who will join my journey? I will guide their feet. Listen, Lord Jesus, let my fears be few. Walk one step before me, I will follow.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through Mark chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth, for reading that. Let's join together in prayer. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of life this morning, for the sunlight, and for the sounds of creation outside our doors, reminding us of your life breath and grace that is at work all around us. May we notice that life breath and grace at work within us today. And God, we ask that in this time, we would hear a word from you. And I pray, God, that you would speak through me this morning and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory and to our transformation. Amen. It's good to see you all this morning, relatively awake. Morning came really early, didn't it? At least for some of us, it felt like that. It's good to give thanks that we can come to church in PJs. Maybe we can, who knows, maybe when we come back to worship, we should all come to worship in PJs, even in person. I mean, why not, right? Not going back to the old normal. So this morning, I want to begin with just sharing a little story about the first congregation where I served was in Atlanta, Georgia. I was a congregation called Mercy Community Church, and it was a non-denominational church, still is going and in operation. And our congregation was comprised of mostly folk who were either houseless, did not have homes to live in, or were in unstable housing. And many folk there had the experience of being preached at a lot of times. And so we made our worship services very intentional that they were participatory, so that there was as much engagement from people as possible, and people could eat and drink, have coffee, and engage in worship and have conversation about faith and life. And so we would do more teaching and discussion rather than preaching. But I remember the first few times that I led the teaching and discussion at Mercy, and there were usually about, I have a kind of image in my head, there were usually about 40 to 50% of folk there who were really engaged, you know, who were there drinking like with you. And then there were probably about 50 to 60% of folk there who were just lying down, resting, often sleeping in deep, deep sleep. In fact, I don't remember a worship service at Mercy where there was not an accompaniment of loud snores, a loud snoring during worship. And we used to joke that it was the Mercy snoring. You know, we'd talk about that, how it was just part of our worship. At first, I found it very distracting and kind of irritating. But as the more I was there and the more I got to know people, I learned to just embrace it as part of the rhythm of worship. And that's, I think, in large part due to the fact that I heard a lot of stories about what life was like on the streets, and particularly nightlife, that rest and sleep was really hard to come by, any kind of good sleep. People would talk about, you know, maybe catching a good 3-hour stint if you're lucky. But even if you did sleep for a little while, it was often anxious sleep because you'd be worried about whether your shoes or your backpack would be there when, you know, with all your livelihood would be there when you woke up. So there was a lot of anxiety around sleeping for too long. And I knew how miserable and unkind and impatient I was when I didn't get enough sleep. And so I was often really moved by the level of love and care that people showed each other and me during my time there, despite being constantly exhausted. It was a formational time for me, my years serving at Mercy, and I was constantly being reformed in terms of how I thought about worship and church and what the purpose was for us being together. What was the purpose of worship anyway? And at Mercy, it was really important that Sunday worship be a time of rest for people, sometimes literal rest, sleeping. And so if that rest meant you needed to sleep in worship, then by all means, go to sleep. If the church could provide rest, then we were also providing a chance for people's bodies to heal just a little bit. And if you know a little bit, which I'm sure some of you know a little bit about the science of sleep, how our bodies literally heal and are healing when we're sleeping. For example, your brain triggers the release of hormones that encourage tissue growth to repair blood vessels when we're sleeping. And that reparation or that repairing that happens with your blood vessels helps wounds heal faster. It helps to restore sore muscles. And our stress hormone decreases during sleep too. That fight or flight response gets a rest. And our mental, our heads and our minds, our spirits get a rest too. Poverty, I think, does violence to people's bodies and spirits because poverty robs people not only of their material needs, but importantly, it robs people of rest. It robs people of rest, and rest is necessary for our bodies and our minds to be able to heal. What is the purpose of worship? What are we providing for rest? What is the true purpose and intent of the Sabbath? And that is actually in a couple different ways, Jesus is asking that question in the stories that we heard this morning. There's two stories, and they're connected together in the passage we heard through this theme of Sabbath. The first story we hear begins with this reality of hunger. People are hungry, the disciples are hungry, and they pluck the heads of grain on the Sabbath to eat. Well, that's not lawful to do within their own religious tradition, so they're disobeying the law. Jesus justifies their actions on the grounds of their need and their hunger. And then he does what a good rabbi would do. He cites scripture and he talks about David, how David violated the holiness code in order to provide for his companions when they were in need. And then he concludes with this line about the intent and purpose of Sabbath. And he says, the Sabbath was made for humankind. We thought and talked about this at our Bible study Wednesday night and wondered, what does that mean? The Sabbath was made for humankind. And I want to give a shout out to Carly Frieders, who put it so powerfully when she concluded, and we all joined in with her. She said, the Sabbath was created for healing and for restoration. That's the true intent of Sabbath. Jesus was getting at a point that the Sabbath is created as a gift for humans, for our healing and for our restoration. And remember when God commanded God's people to keep the Sabbath holy, it was, if we go back a little bit, let's think about this, because God gave that commandment for two reasons. Jesus is calling people back to remember this. He gave the commandment for two reasons. One, because God rests. That's part of God. God rests every seventh day. And second, rest is not only a part of creation's rhythm and need, but it is also foundational to liberation. So when God gives the commandment for the Sabbath in Deuteronomy, God justifies it by talking about liberation, saying, remember you were slaves in Egypt and God brought you out. Therefore, keep the Sabbath holy. The Sabbath commandment comes from a God who rests and from a God who liberates. And so we're not created to be toiling and laboring in perpetuity. We are also never to force others, whether those others be our human neighbors, our animals, the land. We are never to force others to toil and labor in perpetuity. That's slavery. And God says, remember, you were once enslaved. You know what it's like to live in Pharaoh's economy. Don't do that. You're not that anymore. Now I have brought you out of that. Remember, I rest. Remember, I liberate. Remember, you must rest. And you have to provide rest and liberation for others, land, people, all of creation. That's part of the Sabbath vision. It's at the very heart of the Torah. It's at the very heart of the law. And it's important for us to remember this as we're reading, and because let's remember, it's important to remember this. Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was not a Christian. Christians came later. In fact, Christians, that word first was used by non-Christians to kind of make little of Christians. They were literally called little Christs. Oh, those little Christs following Jesus around. And later on, Christians took that as their name, as their claimed that as their name. But that's later. That was later. Jesus is not a Christian. Jesus is a Jew. And Jesus isn't about starting a new religion. Jesus is not in trying to start a new religion. Jesus is trying to work within his own religious tradition to call the people back to the heart of Torah. He's trying to call the people back to God. So let's remember that. That's going on here. Jesus is challenging his own religious tradition. And so this same logic of the calling back is at the center of the second story. So we move from the story about hunger and the Sabbath to this healing story, where Jesus centers this person who has a withered hand. And Jesus is in the synagogue, and on the Sabbath, he heals him. And he asks, is it lawful, essentially, to heal today? Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? He asks. It's another way of asking, what is the purpose and intent of Sabbath and worship if it is not also to include justice and healing? So he's getting at the heart of the matter. He's getting at the heart of the matter. I think it's tempting for us, it's kind of a word of caution really here. It's very tempting for us that in our application, as we think about what these stories, what this means for us, what does it mean for Jesus to call people back to God, to the heart of Torah, and how is Jesus calling us to the places of true healing and restoration in line with Sabbath keeping? How is he calling us? I think it's tempting, really tempting, that in our application of Jesus' invitation, that we only center ourselves as individuals. You know, we're really good at we talk a lot about healing in our culture. I hear a lot actually talk about healing and even holistic healing, but it's often still centered on, it's very individualistic. Have you noticed that? It's often very kind of connected just to my, you know, it might be holistic, but it's me. it's whatever practices are kind of are about me and making me feel more whole. And we have to remember, I think we have to continually be called out of that frame of mind, because in the Gospels, holistic healing is not just about the individual. It falls short of the vision of Torah, of God, and of Jesus, which includes a true Sabbath that is for all of creation, the earth, people, plants, animals, our human community. In fact, I think this is where a lot of indigenous folk and thinkers are really speaking to our to the destruction and the harm that our Western individualistic mindset has done with healing. And Randy Woodley, I think I've quoted him before. He's a theologian who's speaking from an indigenous perspective. He calls the kingdom of God the community of creation. The community of creation. And he sums up Jesus's ministry as healing ministry that involves the whole community of creation. And he says, we are all on a journey with Christ to heal the world, all of us. Hyper-individualism is such a harmful aspect of our modern worldview because we see ourselves as separate from others and over above creation. And so our definitions of healing are not only intensely biomedical, they are also intensely individualistic. So how does our healing work with Christ include providing rest and healing for others, including the earth? And I think that's the connection. That's where I'd like to suggest we move. And there's so many other, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this too, how we respond to Jesus's invitation in these stories. But one of the ways I think that we can respond is to check our worldview, to look at the holistic in terms of all of creation. And then I think we start again small with small practices. It's important, right? Because the mustard seed is small. We start small. And I think we can begin with some reconnecting work. Healing the ways in which we are disconnected from others and the natural world. I really like the image of mending because that mending, those of you who sew or who work with your hands, that mending is that process of sewing together two pieces that belong together, but they need to be restored. They need to come back. They belong together, but some force or something has separated them. So how do we make those connections? How do we reconnect? And that artificial separation between human life as over against and above creation has been really harmful. And so sometimes the work of healing is just tending to that mending work, connecting again, making the connections. And that, I think, that connecting and relating, it's the beginning of change. That's the beginning of change. Robin Wall Kimmerer, in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, which took me like 2 years to read because it's so deep, it's so good. And I keep coming back to her work. But one of the things she says that people often ask her, how do we restore the relationship between people and the land? And she says something really simple. She says, plant a garden. She says, it's good for the health of the earth and for people. And a garden, she says, is a nursery for nurturing connection, the soil for cultivation of practical reference. Now, of course, we don't have to have a large private garden to plant a garden. I think we can even go smaller. We can tend to one pot of soil or that sits on our balcony or on our doorstep. We can choose a small plot of land that is a place we want to go to spend time. We can touch trees and earth and recognize their gifts and needs. We can work on that reconnecting. And we can start small. It's also, I think, important to remember that choosing healing paths are generally not going to be the easier path. Then they're often going to be more time consuming and more inconvenient to you. So the healing road, you can think about it as the road of salvation. It's not going to be convenient, and it's sometimes going to be painful. Healing by the world's standards is considered a waste of time, especially in a market-driven economy, capitalistic society, where our worth is determined by what we produce and what we buy and consume and achieve in our careers, right? Healing is a waste of time. in that kind of system. Think about it. Think about the time it takes, for example, to mend a broken relationship. That takes time. Think about the time it takes to create, to know that you need to separate in a relationship for healing to occur. Think about the time, the boundaries, the energy that that takes. That's slow healing work too. I think about practices related to healing the earth that the Environmental Action Team has set forth in their handbook. And most of those practices, you will find that when you first start, they will be inconvenient to you. I think about, I'm cheating a little bit here because I'm choosing a practice I actually kind of enjoy. So this one's not very hard for me, but I think about the practice of hanging laundry versus throwing it in the dryer. I actually love to hang laundry. I don't know why. It's just, it's really a meditative thing for me. But I think about that choice, just the one choice. It is inconvenient. It takes more time. But it's both, it also gets you outside, your hands touch the earth for a few moments, and it makes you be in the space in a different way and be outside in a different way. It puts a little less carbon in the atmosphere. And it can be also a part of your own healing. It's a small decision, right? And I know I cheated, but lots of these choices we have, they come down to these small decisions, things that we choose that also often take more time and are inconvenient. And I think it's important that we remember when we're walking with Jesus, we're walking slow. Jesus traveled by foot. He probably never went more than 3 miles an hour. He maybe occasionally he was on a donkey ride. Well, I don't know. Maybe he did travel a little faster at times, but he often traveled slow. And I think that in and of itself is an indication for the speed in which we are to travel to, or to learn to travel, to slow down. Because in that slowness, it gave him time to listen to the teachings of creation. It also gave him time to look and to observe the gifts of people, and also the brokenness and the needs around him. He paid attention to that and allowed him to see what Sabbath practices have to do with the poor who are hungry and suffering and ask then, what is the Sabbath for anyway? What is the intention and purpose of our work? I don't know if he could have been that in tune with those questions unless he had moved slowly in the world the way he did. Healing in the way of Jesus, think, means not only looking toward rest and liberation for the community of creation, it also means embracing the slowness and the waste of time that is necessary for healing to happen. I heard Joanna Bowen a few weeks ago, I'm quoting folk because I've been in such rich places where we've been sharing good thoughts, and Joanna Bowen read, actually, I think Susan Wargo, you read this also, a quote from Henry Nouwen about prayer. And the line that stood out to me was, prayer is wasting time with God. Prayer is wasting time with God because prayer cuts a hole in our busyness and reminds us and others that it is God and not we who creates the world and sustains the world. Wasting time, that is an evil word in a market-driven economy. But for us, the little Christs, the Christ followers here on earth, that is a precious word to us. Let us waste time on healing. Let us waste some time with God and with each other. Let's find together the slow and saving path that Jesus calls us onto, the healing path. Amen. Amen.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
We care for this church and this community through gifts of time and money and talent. And we also care for this community by caring for the earth. This week, we are concentrating on the ways that we can make choices around food in order to heal the world. One small practice that we do in our household is making food from things that might typically go in the trash. I grew up learning to make stock by saving bones and adding fresh veggies. But I learned from my wife, who was a line cook for many years, that you can also save vegetable scraps like carrot peels and ends and parts of the onion that's fleshy but not quite good enough to eat. And you can even also save cheese rinds and add them to your stock. So we now save scraps in a tub in the freezer. And when the tub gets full, we make stock with them. And this means that we don't buy pre-made stock or toss out food that we otherwise would have eaten. And it's really satisfying. Something that I'd like to commit to doing and add to my practice of reducing food waste is being more mindful of the produce in our fridge and give it away if we don't think we can eat it. So I invite you all to consider how you will commit to reducing the impact of your food choices on the environment as well. When you are offering your gifts today to give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute. And please be sure to select the appropriate fund when making your gift online. By text, include a tag like pledge, visitor, or other so that we know how to direct it. The morning offering will now be collected. Mm-hmm.
facile toilet. Hepatitis fait comme si pas de chambres, c'est une lumière qui clair. Est-ce qu'il y a une lumière qui claire pour moi? Est-ce qu'il y a une lumière qui sait pour moi?
God, gather these offerings and commitments and lend our gifts your blessing that we might use them to heal your creation. Amen.
Amen. Wow, Natalie, what a gift. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Just sitting with that song and the images and just really, really blessed by that. Thank you. Thank you. And just want to give a attention there to the link that Pax shared for more of Natalie's music and her new album, or relatively new, probably for a lot of us, not super, super new, but you can go check that out on the link that Pax sent out. Now is the time where we're going to shift to some prayer. And as we lift up, we're lifting up one another's prayers and what's on our heart. So This is a time where we invite you to share what's on your heart. If you have a prayer of joy, of celebration, a burden, something you would like to lift up that we can carry with you, and we're asking God to carry and hold with us. And so let us do that now. You can just take your time, type into the chat box what's on your heart, and then we'll just give a little bit of time here. There might be some silence in the beginning where those prayers are coming in, and Elizabeth is going to read them out loud, and then we will close. So if you're new, if this is new to you, just please feel free to type into the chat box a prayer that you'd like to lift up before God and the community, and we will join you in that prayer. So let us open our hearts to God and to the voices of God's people speaking.
From Alyssa, wishing the U.S. and world peace and protection for all in these difficult times. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Virginia, I give thanks for the life of my dear friend Kitty, who died suddenly of a heart attack, and pray for her husband, Hal, and children. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Natalie, a prayer for Haiti as the people struggle against violence and repression in a way that should not still be the case in 2021. For the safety of my family over there and my organizer friends who bravely put their lives on the line to speak out. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jim, prayers for my friend Sammy Pounds, who was supposed to go to Jefferson Thursday for a cardiac procedure, but there was no room available. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana and Gina Antonio, prayers for my friend Morgan, who had her baby Odin at 28 weeks. Both are doing well and they have a long road ahead. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jennifer, Rose, and Levi, prayers for the family of Breonna Taylor as we pass 1 year since her wrongful death. May her family find justice and peace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Amanda and Michelle, over the past year, Amanda has been experiencing some health concerns that caused her increasing chronic pain and other challenges. We found out that she has fibromyalgia, which is a discouraging diagnosis. We are thankful, however, to have some answers and begin a course of treatment. We ask for positive thoughts, healing energies, and intentional prayers for Amanda and support for our family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Alaska, please keep me in your thoughts. On Tuesday, I'm going to the hospital for some tests on my lungs to figure out if anything can be done for my breathing problem. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lucinda, prayers for the trans and non-binary folks who are the targets of violence and discrimination. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana and Gina Antonio, prayer in memory of friend Carla Hawker, who passed away almost a year ago. Today we celebrate the last day we spent with her. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer from me. I found out on Friday that my ex-girlfriend has been hospitalized 5 times for COVID-related complications and is currently in the hospital with her second pulmonary embolism. Prayers for her recovery, for her family. God in your mercy, hear our prayer. Prayers that paid sick leave be realized as a right by our politicians and thus granted to all workers in America so that they are able to rest and recover health and create a more healthy and just society from Gwinnett. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Verona, grateful to all for all who worked hard to make it a reality for teachers and others who work in schools to receive the COVID vaccine in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lucinda says, amen. Verona, I got my first shot on Friday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Heather, prayers for the hundreds of families and especially children held in detention on the U.S.-Mexico border and throughout the U.S. and for a humane immigration policy. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lucinda, I'm crying tears of joy with you. Tears are a prayer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thank you to all who shared in that, shared from your heart, the prayers that are on your heart. And we acknowledge that there are many other prayers that remain on our hearts that perhaps we couldn't find words to express. But know that we lift up those prayers as well and that God hears all of the prayers that are on our hearts. So let us gather up all that has been shared and sing together a song of prayer.
Óyenos mi Dios, óyenos mi Dios, listen to your people, óyenos mi Dios, óyenos mi Dios, óyenos mi Dios, listen to your people.
Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here, even in this virtual space, to be reminded of our connection to you and to creation and to the human family. Thank you, God, that we are not called to walk alone, to be alone, to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But God, we are called to connect, to relate, to reach out. God, we ask that you would help each of us in these days that we're in. We ask that you would guide us to paths of healing. God, we ask that in the spaces where we know what to do, but lack the will or the desire, God, we ask that you would awaken the will and the desire within. We also know that there are many times where we don't know what to do, and that certainly we are not always in control of our healing or know what those paths look like. So God, we ask that in those spaces you would be there, and you would help us take next steps, even into uncertainty. We pray for your healing power and restoration on all of us and on the whole community of creation. Make us participants in that and gather us into that vision of your world. Gather us in, and we pray that you would just keep us in your will and in your way in these times. So all these things, God, we ask in your name, and we thank you for teaching us a prayer that also directs us toward creation and toward others outside of ourselves. So let us pray this prayer that you taught us. If you don't know it by heart, you can read in front of you on the screen. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we close our service today, our final song will be the benediction. So we're going to, we've sung this song once before. I know Heather Bird brought this song to Pax, and Pax is bringing that to us. So let's sing this benediction song. And I invite you to extend your hands in blessing of one another. And may our hands extend not just to each other, but outside to the world and to creation. So let us bless each other and sing together the final benediction. If you go to gallery view, go to gallery view if you can.
To you, may God's face turn.